When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I am Adam Patrick, and I am the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel and like this video. We would appreciate that. And also make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. All right, Chris, breaking news this morning. The Jets have hired former Broncos head coach and former Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett as their new offensive coordinator. So my just opening question for you is, will Aaron Rodgers be a Jet in 2023?
I feel like the Broncos made this mistake, didn't they? Like, hey, yep, we'll just hire Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers will come with him. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. Nope. Instead, they got Mr. Unlimited and he lets Rode right off the frickin' age cliff. I don't know. I mean, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing is a little bit weird.
It's already annoying, isn't it?
It's already annoying. Like, tell me when he either says I'm coming back to Green Bay, which we probably won't know until training camp because he doesn't do OTAs. He goes in a shack.
Yeah.
And he's probably doing a cleanse right now or something.
Or whatever.
Like, you know, just a cult meeting or something of that nature. I don't know. I mean, let me know where he is. Come training camp. Basically, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think he's either going to retire or just stay with the Packers. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think it's his contract. I don't know the specifics of it, but I feel like it's kind of hard to move. I don't exactly know that. I could be totally wrong.
The Packers would actually eat $40 million in dead cap.
Yeah, yeah, but they're not going to do that,
right?
So yeah, I think if he's done with the Packers, then he's probably retiring, and then I could see him like coming back and a year or two or something, because it'll be like, I missed the game or whatever. That typical thing. And it'll be with the Vikings. So, you know. Speaking of former Packers coordinators, the Vikings interviewed Mike Pettine yesterday for their defensive coordinator opening. Former Packers defensive coordinator, former Browns head coach, former Jets defensive coordinator, current assistant head coach with the Vikings. Rather uninspiring to me. Candidate, but you know, what are your thoughts about this? Did this strike any chords or anything?
I wish I had some hot takes on this because I really don't. I mean, there's some people that believe that Mike Pettine was actually the one running the defense last year, which, yeah, you're one of them. I mean, like, if that's the case, get him out of here, because that defense it didn't have a lot of Fangio principles. It had a lot of Pettine principles, more so. So, I mean, the other thing that bothers me about Mike Pettine is that he looks like Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars. So, like, yes, you know, he's sitting there on the sideline and he's just like, well, you know, you need seven. You want me to play 3 yards off the ball? Best I can do is fine, you know.
Yeah.
I would not be super jacked if the Vikings hired Mike Pettine as defensive coordinator. And the other thing is, too, if Pettine was this brilliant defensive mind, like, they would have just promoted him after the Detroit game. Like, they would have just said, hey, Ed, this isn't working. We're going to go with Mike. So I don't know if Ed was just the fall guy or, like, just wanted to be the spokesperson for Mike or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the sounds of that at all.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think when Kevin O'Connell was ever asked about Ed Donatell, he never really like singled him out when talking to him. I don't even think he used his name. He just always talked about how we have to do things certain, you know, better on defense and everything. So he might have been, you know, kind of sending a message to Pettine, and we might have not realized it. But I want to read this kind of, I guess it's a quote that Brian Sampson from DairylandExpress.com wrote. After the 2020 season, right before Pettine got fired for the Packers, it was an article about like why Pettine should be fired. And this is going to sound very familiar because here's what he said. The biggest reason Pettine should lose his job is for the numerous light fronts he employs on a regular basis. It's a staple in his playbook to call three-man rushes and or soft zone coverage that bleed yards. This has come back to bite the Packers on a number of occasions. His bend but don't break strategy is fine for a defense that lacks talent, but Green Bay has a number of playmakers that were never truly unleashed. Guys like Jaire Alexander, Darnell Savage, and Adrian Amos should be unlocked to play more freely. Is that about the Packers defense or the Vikings defense in 2022?
It sure sounds like the Vikings to me. I don't know, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty damning on Mike Pettine when you see a lot of the same things. I mean, Packer fans have been saying it the whole time. They're just like, hey, this looks a lot like our defense a couple years ago. And sure as hell, it wound up being that way.
Not as bad. The Vikings did it worse. So it was great. So it didn't look totally like the Packers defense because the Vikings were just terrible on defense. But yeah, I hope it's just like a courtesy interview where they're trying to like just cover all their bases and make sure they interview as many people as possible. Cause if Pettine gets the job, then I'm just going to be like that, you know, why'd you guys even get a new defensive coordinator? It's basically the same thing. Cause I feel like nothing's really going to change. Do you think they need to go in a totally different direction as far as like scheme and stuff? Or should they try and find someone who can run something similar to what they want to do? Cause it sounds like O'Connell wants to run the Fangio style still, but They have interviewed guys who run the 4-3. They're interviewing Brian Flores, who's a more aggressive, you know, play caller. So what do you think? Should they stick to it or should they just be open to finding other guys?
I would think what they need to do this time is look at their roster, because I don't feel like they did that last time. Like Kevin O'Connell just said, hey, this is the defense I want to run and we're going to run it and we're not going to do anything to accommodate who we have. The thing about the Vikings defense, we've sat here so far and we've talked about, we need to get rid of this guy. We need to get rid of that guy. We need to let this guy walk. You need to replace those people. And I don't think the Vikings are in the business of doing a full blown Chicago Bears tank, even though the Bears tank put them in a better situation than the Vikings for the upcoming season. But we can talk about that later. I just think that, you know, they need to look at their personnel and go, what's the easiest thing to run? Because we have a lot of these guys. You're probably going to get rid of some of them. But like a guy like Danielle Hunter, he could still be here. And what does he do? He likes to put his hand in the dirt. Yep. If you want to run a 3-4, then these guys need to be traded not only for draft picks, but they need to be traded for guys who have experience in this scheme. Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Vikings do in that regard, as far as what scheme they employ and how that affects what personnel they have going into next season.
Yeah, I think they should be open to anything, really. Like after last year, how can you not? Like it was really bad. And you need to listen to some of the guys they're interviewing have had a bunch of success with, you know, defenses, and they're younger and they might have, you know, newer ideas that could help the, you know, the Vikings get better on defense. I think someone like Pettine is just nothing. Nothing's really going to change. So I think they hope. I'm still hoping that the defensive coordinator from the Broncos, Ejiro Evero or whatever his name is, doesn't get a head coaching job and he's becomes available, because I think he'd be a great fit. But second choice probably Flores. I would be interested in him coming aboard. That would be an interesting mix too, because Flores is kind of like a more Belichick fear-based kind of coach. So we've heard.
Yeah.
Where O'Connell's like happy-go-lucky, positive.
How are the wives? How are the kids? You want to come home for a barbecue? Somebody said soft shell or hard shell tacos? Yeah. You look like a hard shell guy to me. I don't know. But
somebody said it would be like a good cop, bad cop kind of thing, where like O'Connell's like, okay.
It's like Cam Dantzler is just sitting in the room, just like, oh yeah, you know, just like walks out, lights go out. Brian Flores is right behind, just slams his head in the table.
Yeah.
Where like, are they?
Batista, Ric Flair style. Yes. All right, moving on. The next one is Kevin O'Connell. Despite being the second rookie head coach since 2012 to lead his team to 13 wins or more in his first season, he was not nominated for, not one of the five nominees for this year's AP Coach of the Year Award. The nominees instead are our favorite, Kyle Shanahan of the San Francisco 49ers, Brian Daboll of the New York Giants, Nick Sirianni of the Eagles, Sean McDermott of the Bills, and Doug Peterson of the Jaguars. Now, I feel like all these guys are deserving of a nomination. I also feel like Kevin O'Connell is deserving. So who would you replace on this list of nominees with O'Connell?
I would say McDermott. I think it would. I guess you could probably make a case McDermott is at a harder job because of the DeMar Hamlin stuff. That kind of threw a wrench in the thing and kind of keeping everybody focused. And but I mean, that was also after, I mean, he had to coach, what, three games after that? And the Bills didn't really look too good in the wild card round at all. I don't know. Should Kevin O'Connell, I mean, let's look at the other candidates. Kyle Shanahan, I'm not a fan of his, but he's done a hell of a job. I mean,
Brock Purdy,
Brock Purdy. I mean, Brock Purdy's like a candidate for rookie of the year, and he's only played in like six games. So that shows you the job that Kyle Shanahan has done. I don't know. You should almost just put D'Amico Ryans in there too, because it's been more their defense than their offense. Brian Daboll. I don't know. Maybe if Kevin O'Connell beats Daboll, like
he did in the regular season.
He did in the regular season. Yes. And are these decided in the regular season, or do they decide them now?
I was wondering that too, because like, would Peterson be in there if the Jaguars didn't beat the Chargers? Would Daboll be in there if they didn't beat
the Jaguars? Were like, what, 3-7, and they wound up running the table to win the division?
Well, they're also in the AFC South, so you have to win like six games to win that division. So.
Six games total.
I would say McDermott, because I feel like the Bills were like, they were the Super Bowl favorite. Like every analyst picked them, and they lost in the divisional round, and they underachieved. They weren't the number one seed. I would replace McDermott. You know, I agree with you though that like he's probably on there because of the DeMar Hamlin thing, because that's just something that's like unprecedented, and no one's ever had to deal with a situation like that. And he did a great job, you know, keeping his locker room together and everything, and he did a great job just basically postponing that game, preventing the NFL from being like, we're gonna play again. We're just gonna play again. Your guy just like died on the field, but we're gonna, you know. 5 minutes, warm up.
5 minutes, warm up. Good. And Joe Burrow's like, I don't care. Like, give me a football. Let's go.
he's a different person. But I'd replace McDermott. But yeah, it's disappointing because I think O'Connell, maybe it's because the Vikings only won, or maybe it's because the Vikings won 8 games last year. So like the jump from 8 to 13 isn't as big. And I also think it's just because people just didn't think the Vikings were that good this year, regardless of how many games they won. So I don't know. I thought he should have got a nomination, but I guess I'm not surprised.
Maybe he's like honorable mention.
I guess I'm not surprised with all the like the lack of appreciation for the Vikings this year from the national media anyway. So, but Justin Jefferson, this isn't a topic, but he's nominated for MVP. He's not going to win.
That's such a joke.
I mean, he's not going to win.
It's such a joke. I can't remember. I think it was like Ryan Bozer or something posted this on Twitter, but he's just like, yeah, it's not a quarterback award. See, like Justin Jefferson's a finalist, but you're not going to give it to him.
I think even Justin Jefferson like quote tweeted it and put like, I'm happy to be nominated, and put like a crying face, like laughing emoji, because he's like, even he knows like, like, this, I have no chance. But he is also nominated for Offensive Player of the Year, which I would say he does have a chance to win that.
Yes.
Because that's typically like the runner-up MVP kind of non-QB award.
If he got 2,000 yards, I think like his last hope of doing it was getting 2,000 yards. And Jair Alexander threw a wrench into that. Jair Alexander and the three safeties behind him
threw a wrench into that.
I forgot about that small detail, but I'm the greatest. I'm still shocked he didn't have a safety over like each shoulder, as he was saying, but maybe they're just blocked out by a stupid big hat.
Yeah, I love it. That's good. That's one of my favorite moments of the year. Him trash talking with that giant hat on.
Freaking
him clown. Also trash talking Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe. Like, could you pick two people that people care less about than those two? Like, who cares?
Shannon Sharpe is trying to be relevant by fighting NBA players during games. Yeah,
that little
whatever he's wearing, the sweater, like the pullover that looked like his mom knitted it. That looked very comfortable.
It was probably like $6,000.
It's Gucci, you bastard.
Yeah, it's probably so expensive. All right, so no nomination for Kevin. I don't think anyone else got nominated for anything as far as awards for the Vikings, just Jefferson, Offensive Player of the Year and MVP. Maybe he'll win, probably. All right, let's move on to kind of our main topic, which is ranking the Vikings' offseason needs by position group. I saw that Tyler Fornes of Vikings Wire did this the other day.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, yeah, he's been on before. Yeah, yep.
Unless there's something I don't know.
No, nope.
He hates us.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and so he ranked the, you know, the Vikings' biggest needs. I think he did five by position group. I think he had wide receiver at the top, which kind of caused a stir with some people. But, you know, that's his opinion, and we're all entitled to our own opinion, despite what people on Twitter say. So I just wanted to rank each position group. We separated them into 15 categories and rank them from 15 to 1. 15 being the least biggest need, I guess the lowest need, and 1 being the biggest need. So, did you want to go first, or we'll just go through the whole thing and then?
Yeah. So I put them in order, but they're almost in tiers when I look at them, because there's like, oh my god, fix this. Yeah. There's go find some depth down the line, and then there's like, I don't know. Fine. You could upgrade it, but I mean, it's not really a priority. Number one for me is corner. And I think a lot of people will agree with me there. You're old, you're slow, and the best corner on your team had 3 concussions last year. That's not good. And if you do re-sign your top corner, technically, he's 5'9", and the other one's like, what, 33, 34 years old.
Yeah.
They need to find some youth. Now, they could go into free agency and get some starters here and just plug them right in. That's definitely a possibility. The draft is probably the best place, especially if you want something. I mean, if you're going to free agency for any of these positions, it needs to be like a 26-year-old going into their second contract type of deal. And those players are going to cost the most in free agency. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
You trade for Jalen Ramsey.
I do not want that to happen, because that is more kicking stuff down the road. That crazy. Well, you don't want to go full Rams. That's going full Rams.
Literally.
And you don't go full Rams unless you're on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. I don't think this team is. I don't care if they won 13 games. There's a lot of changes. We're going to go through them right now. The other one that needs to change is the linebacker. I assume you're still going to run a 3-4. So you need somebody to go with Brian Asamoah. And is Asamoah even ready? I don't even know if that's the case. So they need to find somebody there. Number 3 is wide receiver. You have Justin Jefferson, and I mean, a lot of people like KJ Osborne, but he's basically a number 3. We saw that he had that bad drop against the Giants. Who is your number 2 receiver? It's not Adam Thielen. Even if he comes back, he's going to need to take a lesser role. And I mean, KJ Osborne can't be much worse than Adam Thielen was last year. So you could plug him into that number 2 role, just kind of roll with it. I don't know. I think they need somebody to take the top off the defense, kind of like, I don't know, Jameson Williams when he was on the board last year, guy that can streak down the field and take a little bit of pressure off. But that's just me. The second tier is kind of like, hey, think about this. You got to think about the future. Take some of these guys. Edge rushers. As of right now, Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter are under contract. If they are not under contract, this thing shoots up for me.
Yeah.
But if you don't have Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, you need to replace those players. If you do have Danielle Hunter, what scheme is he playing? Is he playing a 4-3? Is he playing a 3-4? Do you trade him to see if somebody will give you a first round pick for him? I don't know. So edge rusher for me is another one because you need to get pressure on the quarterback. Speaking of quarterback, that's my next one on the list. Fifth.
Wow, Kirk, that's high.
Kirk will get you through 2023. Like that's fine. And I mean, if we're looking at things right now, but you need to be aggressive with this.
Yeah, you do.
You need to look into the future. Do they trade for Trey Lance? If the price is right, I say you make the call, you pull the trigger there, and you figure out how to get that draft capital back by trading down or something. If not, I wonder what they can do this offseason. Like, it doesn't mean like, hey, absolutely 100% make a move at quarterback. What I'm saying is that the Vikings need to look at all avenues as to what can we do in the future to make sure we're set at quarterback. So if that's trading up this year, if it's, oh, all the guys we like are gone, let's just focus on everything else. We'll take a swing in 2024. They need to make a plan. So this isn't like actually go get somebody. It's more like, hey, this should be on your mind.
All right. Interior, so let's just do your top five.
Yes. We'll so cornerback, five. Cornerback, linebacker, wide receivers, edge rushers, and quarterback.
All right. I'll do mine real quick and then we'll go just quickly go over the rest. At number one, I have linebackers. Just because, you know, Jordan Hicks and Eric Kendricks, they're just like, they need to go to retirement home. They're just too slow. I just have that image in my head of Saquon Barkley catching that swing pass in the playoff game and Eric Kendricks kind of just like jogging behind him. And I don't know if he was jogging or that's just his full speed. And if that's his full speed, that's not good.
No.
So they need that if they're going to, especially if they're going to stay in 3-4. Cornerbacks, I have number two. I think that's obvious. You stated a lot of the case where they don't have a lot of people in there, and the guys even that they had on the field last year weren't that great. So that's needs to be a priority, whether you get someone in free agency or the draft. I would think you'd want free agency. I don't know who, like, you need like a young, like a Byron Murphy, I think is like a good guy. He's from the Cardinals. I think he's going and he's looking for a second contract. That's kind of a guy you kind of want to look at as far as experience wise to bring in. At number three, I have kicker. With the Vikings, you know, kicker is always a need, I guess. I don't think Greg Joseph should come back. I think they need to explore other options. You know, he made some clutch kicks, but he also missed some kicks that he should have made. And I think he finished like 20 in the bottom third of the league in kicking percentage and field goal percentage and in extra point percentage. So they need to shoot higher with that, whether it's drafting someone, bringing in a veteran kicker, undrafted free agent, whatever. But I think they should move on because, you know, you don't want to be like the Cowboys in the, you know, the last round of the playoffs where they got a kicker missing five extra points and it changes your whole mindset of how to approach, you know, the game on the field. So they just need someone they can feel confident in. And so at number four, I have interior offensive line because just a big question mark. Garrett Bradbury is a free agent. Do they bring him back or not? You know, do you want to start Ed Ingram again? Do you want someone better than Ezra Cleveland? You know, what are they going to do with that? Because, and I think center's big because we know like center and quarterback relationship, that's huge in this league. And the center can change like your whole offensive line. So I think that's an underrated big one. And then number five, this might surprise some people. I have running back because right now they have Dalvin Cook. Is he going to be back? Who knows? Alexander Mattison's not going to be back. They have Kane Wongwu, who's apparently they just don't want, nobody ever wants to play him in the backfield unless he's playing the last season against the Bears. And then they have Ty Chandler, who looked good in the preseason this year, but we don't know if he can do that in the regular season. So I think that's something to keep an eye on as far as, and there's a lot of good free agent running backs this year. Like they can get for pretty good price. Like they can trade Dalvin Cook and get someone for like $3 or $4 million a year and probably feel pretty good about it. That's my top five. Did we want to just list off the rest? And we don't have to like go into detail, but I have wide receivers at six though.
Yeah, wide receiver at six.
And I have edge rushers at seven.
It is a problem. And I do like, so I have running back at seven. I'll just kind of mention, you know, ones that I really just, cause like we don't really need to talk about offensive tackle and tight end and even like safeties. I have well down the list.
We got
like
a punter. We got a punter.
You know what? And since we're on that topic, like kicker, you have it third. I had it towards the bottom of the list because they're so fickle and you have so many holes to fill and not a lot of salary. I would love to go out and just sign an all pro kicker, like a Daniel Carlson. thanks, Zimmer, or something like that. But the Vikings don't have the money, and usually those players are not available. So what do you do? I mean, Riley Patterson, who is a Vikings camp leg, he was knocking down field goals for the Jaguars in the playoffs. How is Ryan Wright found? They took a flyer on an undrafted free agent. They said, holy crap, he's like bombing these things. Let's get rid of, I don't even know the last guy's name. It doesn't matter at this point. I would just rather, I think you go in if there's a guy in the draft you like. I mean, we give Rick Spielman shit for trading up for Daniel Carlson. He was right.
He would have been so good if Kevin O'Connell was the coach at the time when he drafted him. Like, just think about that. Like, he would have been fine.
He would have been the greatest kicker in Vikings history. He's one of the greatest kickers in NFL history. Like, good Lord.
That's frustrating.
But running backs.
He missed the kick in his second game of career. He's gone.
Yeah, you put running backs in your top five. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, running backs don't matter. Well, you can't pay. Just go get one for the community account. It's nice when you have a good one. Like, honestly, like.
Yeah. They matter when you don't have them.
And I remember the Packers game specifically, and I remember a play. It was a play action pass to Dalvin Cook, and the Packers linebackers just kept dropping back. They didn't even like go up. And the play was a nice play design because it was a play action. Linebackers dropped back, and it wound up being a screen to Dalvin Cook. I liked the play design, but it signaled a problem to me. Dalvin Cook was 36th among running backs in yards above replacement, according to Football Outsiders. He was not above replacement, by the way. He was 24 yards below replacement. And you look at Madison, Chandler, Wong Wu, say, hey, let's just give the ball to those guys. Well, they did not trust them enough. Like, Dalvin Cook sprained his ankle in week 18, which was the most meaningless Vikings game of the season. They put him back in rather than giving those guys touches. So it makes me wonder, do they like the guys that they have behind Cook? I don't think so. Like, you know what? The Vikings don't have a second round pick. If they wound up with one and kind of traded their veterans Madden style, I'd look at Bijan. I would.
I hear that.
Bijan in the second round?
Yeah, in the second round. That's right.
Yes.
I don't know.
Don't do it in the first. My God. No, that would
I don't know
bad.
If he's going to. Yeah, I don't know if he'll make it to the second, though. No. I think there's going to be a lot of hype around him testing-wise and everything.
But the first round for running backs is now the second round. It used to be the first round, but now it's like second days.
That's where they got Dalvin Cook. That's where a lot. Like, yes. Alvin Kamara was in there. Joe Mixon was in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look at a team like the Chiefs. They got like Jerick McKinnon is like their top guy.
Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh round pick.
Yeah. Like, I know they have Patrick Mahomes. That makes a huge difference. But like, you don't need to pay top dollar for running backs. I think this regime is younger and they realize that they're going to invest more money in, they're going to invest in TJ Hockenson, who, you know, say what you want about tight ends, but he's become quickly reliable and a favorite target of Kirk Cousins, and he's young. So you want to pay him. And, you know, wide receivers are more, I would say wide receivers in this day and age in the NFL are way more important than running back. So if you have one like Justin Jefferson, you want to pay one, and then you want to find a number two that helps take attention off of Justin Jefferson. So I would even, that's why I put wide receivers at six because, I like KJ Osborne and I feel like their need for wide receivers aren't as large because they have Justin Jefferson. He makes up for a lot of that. That's kind of why
TJ Hockenson.
That's why I put tight ends at the bottom too, because I know they're losing Irv Smith, but like tight ends, I have it like 12 because.
Well, how much does Kevin O'Connell want to play 11 personnel too?
Right.
That also brings wide receivers up your list. Imagine if they took Jordan Addison in the first round. Like I think that would be an outstanding pick to pair with Justin Jefferson on the other end. Quentin Johnson's also a freak. I don't think he gets down to 23 or 24, wherever the Vikings are picking. And then, any of those wide receivers. I mean, if you can find Hyatt from Tennessee, that's actually the guy that I really like because he's
a quarterback threat.
He's a wide receiver.
Oh,
he had like what was it? I was at the NDSU-SDSU game, but he had like, 4 or 5 touchdowns against Alabama? Like, they just could not find him.
Is it Jalen Hyatt?
Jalen Hyatt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, because I think I saw he has like an NIL deal with Hyatt Hotels, which is like...
Nice. Perfect. That's that's convenient. It's like Dakoldis Crawford.
Yeah, with the
AC commercial. HVAC. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I gotta find out. He was in the transfer portal. I gotta find out where he went.
You see the meme kid, like the Popeyes kid, he got a NIL deal from Popeyes because he's like some football player at like some random like Erie Community College or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? The Popeyes kid who's like holding a Popeyes cup with like the big eyes, like just
the meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got an NIL deal with Popeyes, apparently. I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As far as the rest of mine goes, so I have wide receivers at 6, edge rushers at 7, I have quarterbacks at 8, defensive line at 9, offensive tackle at 10, because of Brian O'Neill's question mark. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the season, so maybe you got to kind of invest in a backup plan. Punt returner at 11, don't know if it's going to be Jalen Reagor or whoever. Tight ends at 12, 13 is safeties, 14 is punter, and 15 is kick returner, because Kane Iwuamu is awesome.
Yes.
How'd the rest of yours go starting at 6?
So I had interior offensive lineman. I don't know what's going to happen with Gary Bradbury. Ed Ingram, I think he'll be better in year 2. I mean, he sucked overall, but I mean,
yeah,
his ability to run block was pretty damn good. And maybe
didn't Ezra Cleveland suck as a rookie too? Didn't he suck?
Yeah. What's up with Ezra Cleveland too?
Not that he's
he's fifth in pressures allowed. Like, yeah. To me, that's a bad year for Ezra Cleveland, yeah. But I don't really know what's going on. So I'm interested to see what happens at center. Maybe that helps those guys out. I don't really know. 7 was defensive tackle. I don't know if Dalvin Tomlinson's coming back or not. If they don't, they need a badass shit wrecker in the middle of the line.
Yeah.
Like, they need somebody that can just move bodies, like Jordan Davis from Georgia, now plays for the Eagles. Like, they need somebody like that just to get bodies and open up that pass rushing.
Well,
running back with 7.
I was going to say, look at the playoff game with Dexter Lawrence and how he just destroyed the interior.
You almost did it again.
Did you? Yes, I did. did you see there was a clip, like a mic'd up clip of Dexter Lawrence, like talking trash to Garrett Bradbury. Like, you don't want any of this. Like, you don't want this. In my head, I'm like, he doesn't want it.
He wants to go home and, you know, curl under a blanket or
they
something.
Do. That would be great if they get that. But
offensive tackle was 8th. And this is only higher because I don't know how Brian O'Neill is going to recover from that injury. Thankfully, it's only a partial tear of his Achilles, but find some depth. I mean, that way you're not starting Blake Brandel and Oli Udo if, you know, Christian Darrisaw or Brian
O'Neill
free
agents
down
this year.
Yes. Tight end was 9th. I don't know. It depends on what the Vikings want to do. If they want to play more 11 personnel, maybe it's not as big of a need as I'm thinking. Can you do better than Johnny Munt? Like, that's all you need to ask yourself.
You can. Because, I mean, well, they got Nick Muse or whatever.
No, they waived him, who apparently meows on dates.
Yeah, and I saw that they figured that out. I think they signed him to a futures contract.
Oh, okay.
Because was he a seventh round pick?
Yeah.
Well, I think they waived him, then they put him on the practice squad, and then after the season they signed him to a futures contract. So I think he's still around.
Gotcha.
So Ben Ellefson, I think, is a free agent too.
Mm-hmm.
But they got TJ Hockenson, but if he goes down, you want to make sure you have someone better than Johnny Munt.
A strong tight end class too
in the draft.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that should make things easier. But
you're not going to get
a first round pick on a tight end.
Yeah, you're not going to get a Washington kid out of Georgia. You're not going to get Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame.
Isaiah Likely.
Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State will probably be a day two pick. There you go. Just remember that name. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Safeties. I mean, Lewis Cine should be able to help there.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you have Cam Bynum, who isn't great, but he can take over a pinch.
Same with Josh Pellis.
Yes.
One vote.
All pro vote receiver. Then at the end, I have the specialist kicker and punt returner. Like, just don't get aggressive to go get a specialist. Like, you know, don't draft one in the fifth round being like, this guy will return punts. Like, I hate that. Just go get
never draft someone for a specific like that. Like, either get
the Broncos did that last year.
They did?
They took like some speedster out of small schoolville or something. Okay. Appleton.
Yeah. Get a receiver or a corner or a running back. And if they're good at punt returning, then let them do that too. But yeah, don't be. I think that's something that Rick Spielman or Mike Zimmer did poorly at towards the end of their tenure was like they didn't draft Dan Chisena, but they signed him and they kept him on the roster.
The ultimate weapon.
He clearly was not there to be a wide receiver. He was, you know, a gunner who could get there and then miss the tackle.
But at least he's an undrafted free agent.
Right. But they
keeping
kept,
him
they
on the roster the, was yeah, bad. Yes.
Yes. They kept him on the roster.
He would be the first guy there for punts, but never took the guy down.
He just wanted to be the first one to say hi.
Hey, nice job there. Whoa, where are you going there, buddy? So yeah, that kicker punter, kicker turner, punt returner, kicker punter. Those are my last.
Is punter your least need?
I would say between punter and kicker turner, yes.
Yeah.
They're probably in the same vein. I know that's cheating, but I don't really care.
Yeah. Ryan Wright was good. Like he should have got some votes for all rookie team or whatever. If he didn't,
how many rookie good. Punters are there?
Right. Well, he didn't get any. He didn't get any. I know he didn't get any like all pro votes, or he wasn't a Pro Bowl alternate or anything like that. Which was kind of a little surprising that he didn't get anything because he was pretty good.
Yes,
especially for a rookie. All right. I think that's pretty good. That covers it all. I think we basically agree that cornerback. And linebackers are the biggest needs this season. I would say edge rusher. I would agree with you there. If Zadarius, I think Zadarius is gone. I think that's an easy move, especially for a team that needs cap space.
Well, and he was good for the first half of the year, and then the knee just kind of got the best of him.
But he was 100%. He said after that Packers game or whatever. But no, he wasn't.
Like he's gonna go into a free agent negotiation, being like, "Yeah, guys, I got a bad wheel." Like,
yeah, and if you got to pay Jefferson, Hockenson, Darisa, maybe Danielle Hunter again,
Kirk.
Nope. we're not gonna talk about that. I did see a report that the Jets are gonna be looking for a veteran quarterback this season. Hey, I know just the guy. That's our rankings. I think defense is gonna be a priority this offseason, and how could it not after they couldn't stop anybody? They couldn't stop the Giants, who scored 7 points in the next game against the Eagles. So yeah, they made them look like the 2099 Rams in the wild card week. That was great. All right, let's get to this weekend's games. We've got the AFC Championship in Kansas City, not a neutral site. It's in Burrowhead, as the Bengals are calling it. Cincinnati Bengals against the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes claims he's fine, even though he got a high ankle sprain. I think he's going to be on lots of drugs on Saturday, probably, to help that out. And then in the NFC, we've got the Eagles hosting the 49ers, led by Brock Purdy. Who you got? Who's going to the Super Bowl?
In the AFC, I think it's going to be the Bengals. Patrick Mahomes, pocket passer, terrifies me as well. Like, yeah. he's one of the quarterbacks. It's like, oh, we took off here. Well, that's fine. I'll just stand back here and just throw darts.
Yeah.
That's fine. So like basically now he's Dan Marino instead of like Aaron Rodgers. So that's great there. not like ayahuasca scarecrow Aaron Rodgers, like the Batman or whatever. You know, if Aaron Rodgers shows up to training camp with a burlap bag over his head, like they got problems. No. Like, I mean, like the actual scare, that was the thing, right? He was just high on drugs and he threw a burlap sack over his face.
Yes.
And he drew a mean face on it or whatever. I don't know. But
no, you're right.
Yeah. I think the Bengals, because Joe Burrow does not care. He does not get, oh, it's loud and Aaron. I don't care.
Like, and that defense is good. Their defense is good. Like they
Cincinnati's.
Or I don't know why their defensive coordinator hasn't gotten any like interviews or anything for coaching. And he did well last year and he's doing well again this year. I don't know. Maybe people just don't want to hire defensive coaches. I don't know. Which isn't true because they're interviewing D'Amico Ryans and Raheem Moore and stuff. But I like them.
Cincinnati and
oh boy.
Well, that we know how much that Philly home field advantage can be. San Francisco is
that score last week was not enjoyable.
No,
against the Giants.
No, it wasn't.
I'm not even gonna say it.
Screw it. I'm gonna take the 49ers.
All right, Kyle Shanahan, your guy.
My guy, right. Kyle Shanahan, Bengals, Niners.
Yeah.
Save us, Joe Burrow, from flat-brimmed hats.
That's who I picked before the playoffs started. That's what I'm sticking with. I think the Niners defense is just too good. They're mostly healthy on that side of the ball. Defensive line is good. Linebackers are ridiculous. Cornerbacks are good. Safeties are good. D'Amico Ryans is probably going to be a head coach next year. And the Eagles are, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. But I think they're more prone to, I think they're less experienced, so they're more prone to making mistakes on Sunday than the Niners. At the same time, who are going with, you know, the quarterback who was drafted in the final pick of the draft. So he's not coming in with a ton of experience. He's never really played in an away game like he's going to on Sunday in Philadelphia. That's a totally different beast, just as, you know, Case Keenum in 2018.
Well, we talked about it too. The 49ers schedule wasn't exactly like iron tough as they went to the playoffs. I mean, they beat a Dallas team who I still don't know what they were thinking on that last play. Zeke, go snap the ball. You're old and slow. You're basically like
McCarthy should be fired just for that play.
And he's still there.
And I imagine they practiced that in practice. And I gotta wonder what guys are thinking. Like, you think this is going to work? Like, what? But yeah, so yeah, and they beat, who else did they beat? They beat the Seahawks in the first round, which was close in the first half, but then they kind of blew them out of the water.
Right.
And then they beat, like, their biggest win the second half of the year was, like, against the Dolphins?
Who just fell apart in the second half of the year.
Yeah, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Niners do against a team that's one of the best in the league. I think that'll be a good game. I think both... You know what, actually? I think the Bengals are going to win by quite a bit. I think it's going to be like they just played the Bills where they won by like 14. I don't think the Chiefs are going to kind of do too hot. Because the Chiefs and Jaguars was close for a little bit there.
Both games are going to be good, I think. Like, they'll be fun games to watch. I think so. I'm excited for the games on Sunday, actually.
But now the more important stuff, the more important thing on Saturday.
Yes.
Which is the Royal Rumble. Would it be the official kickoff to WrestleMania season? Would you say?
I would say so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Here's a question for you, because I was on the Homer Horn last night, which will drop tomorrow. Shameless plug. But I was talking with Mr. Nick Marty, and we were talking about the Royal Rumble, and his daughter, who is six, is watching her first Royal. So she's super excited. Oh. They're going to meet up with one of his friends. They're going to have ice cream, and she's got a younger sister. So they're going to pretend to go to bed, and then so she'll go to sleep, and then she'll get up, and then she'll watch the Royal Rumble with her dad and his friend, Uncle Adam. So they're going to have a heck of a time. And it got me wondering, so what was the first Royal Rumble that you watched?
Oh, it had to be way back in the day, like early 90s, because my dad used to record them. You know that thing, like taping things on VHS tapes? Remember that thing? Yeah, he used to do that. And watch them. I couldn't even tell you the exact year. I do remember 2000, I want to say 2004 or 2005 when the person who should not be named won the Royal Rumble, went on to WrestleMania 30, won in the...
That was a good Rumble, too, actually.
It was. It was.
Yes.
That's the most recent one I remember. I think there was one where I remember where The Miz won, and I was just like...
The Miz did not win a Rumble.
He didn't?
I know that for a fact.
You sure?
Yes.
Oh, he won
Money in the Bank.
He won at WrestleMania.
Oh, yes.
And then I was like...
Because he entered as the champion.
Yes.
And John Cena fought him.
He main evented, and I was like, this is the terrible WrestleMania.
And I think Alberto Del Rio won that
year. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
WrestleMania 27.
What was the one where like no one won on Roman Reigns to win and then he won? That was, which could be any year.
That was before 31. So I think it was 2016.
Yeah. Okay.
Which actually, if you're going to watch that one, you should just go watch the WWE title match before that because it was John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins, which is an absolute banger triple threat.
And then that was the year where Seth Rollins did he do Money in the Bank?
Cashed in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think my favorite most recent one is probably when Edge came back with 2019.
2020.
Right before the pandemic cut in full. You were there, right? Were you there?
Yeah, no, I went in 2019. And okay. Honestly, it is,
that the Becky Lynch
someone
one?
Who has, what's that?
Is that the Becky Lynch one? Where she,
yep, that was where
replaced Becky Nia went. Jax.
Awful Rumble. Actually, because I rewatched it because I'm like, oh, that was cool. Becky wound up getting into the Rumble and winning. And like, they just didn't have the horses basically to put on a good match. So like, it's just kind of like an hour drag. And it's like, oh, there's Becky. All right. She's in. She won. 2019 Rumble was so freaking awesome. Just going there and seeing it in person. And, you know, there's a guy I went to take over the night before, which was a freaking blast. But what's that?
Christian in that too? Edging Christian? Was he in that one?
Christian was COVID after? Rumble 2021.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So Edge came back 2020, which was right before the pandemic. And then they had the Rumble in the Thunderdome. And Christian was in that Rumble, which is kind of unfortunate because he would have got one hell of a pop had he, you know, had that been a Larn one. But yeah, I mean, I went to Phoenix. The first pay-per-view I ever watched, VHS or whatever, first wrestling event, was actually was the 1993 Royal Rumble, or the first one I remember anyway. And that was Undertaker Yokozuna casket match where everybody turned on the Undertaker and they threw him into the casket. And like, I was like terrified. I'm like, why are they doing this to him? Like, I knew nothing about wrestling.
Yokozuna, I was also not terrified. From Japan.
I was also terrified of the Undertaker's entrance, but first pay-per-view I ever ordered was Royal Rumble 1999. That was The Rock and Mankind in the I Quit match where Mankind got his hands handcuffed behind his back and like hit with a steel chair in the head 25 times. Really hard to watch now that we know everything about CTE. But it was an awesome match because like The Rock just beat the hell out of him for 30 minutes and he's like, quit. And he's like, no, go to hell. And Vince McMahon won the Royal Rumble. So that was another great one. Yes. Yeah. Because it was Vince and Austin 1 and 2, and Vince put a bounty on Austin to get everybody to help eliminate him. So like Austin, like kicked the crap out of him the first minute. Then the first guy came in and then Austin eliminated him and Vince ran away up into the stands. So Austin followed him. He got jumped by the corporation in the bathroom. They stretchered him out as the rest of the Rumble was coming on. Then like around number 20, like he came back driving the ambulance because Austin knows how to drive everything. Yeah. Like forklifts, cement trucks, like everything.
Milk trucks.
So he jumped back into the ring, eliminated everybody. Vince was on commentary. So it was Austin and Vince at the end. And then The Rock came out and helped Vince win. And Vince won the Royal Rumble.
Is that the WrestleMania where like Linda's like sitting in the chair in the corner?
That was WrestleMania 17.
Okay.
As you guys can tell, I am a super nerd when it comes to this stuff. But I love Royal Rumble. I love WrestleMania season. I am very excited for Saturday night.
All right, let's get to our picks. Who we got for the men's?
I am looking at the Bet Online odds right now. Cody Rhodes is the betting favorite at 160. Sami Zayn +200, and The Rock's at +350. That has actually gone up from last night where he was 275. So I don't know if that's up or down in the betting landscape. Such good gambler I am. I'm going to say it's going to be Cody Rhodes. They've been doing the vignettes the last couple of weeks. I would love to see Sami Zayn win it because I think that would be one of the most compelling stories. But if The Rock shows up, he's winning the Rumble. Like, you don't sit there and go, well, Rock, sorry, there's this guy, Sami Zayn, he's been doing great work. Nah. But I think as stands, pending a Rock return, which, I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, if The Rock doesn't win, I'd be curious to see how they would kind of facilitate a storyline between him and Roman. Just be like, you're ruining our family or whatever, like something like that. But I have Cody. I think Cody's going to win. And then not Dark Horse, but my second choice was Sami Zayn. So I didn't even know the odds, but yeah. I think those are two easy choices. I don't really think anyone else is like, what are you going to do? Have AJ Styles come back and win? Have Randy Orton come back? I don't even think he's healthy anymore.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Edge.
His odds have jumped.
Who?
Actually, from last, because I recorded a show last night where, I just said it, the Homer Horn. We talked about Homer or Rumble.
Whose odds?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh,
he was
boy.
Plus 5,000 last night. Now he's plus 2,000.
That's pretty significant, but still like, very high.
A Austin appearance in the Rumble would be awesome. If you have like five guys in there, the glass breaks, he stuns all of them and then gets dumped over the top rope.
An Austin KO face-off is what you need in the middle of the
Yes.
Rumble.
Yes.
All right, women's side, who you got?
This is tough because Rhea Ripley is the favorite at minus 140.
Yeah.
I've been thinking all along that they are setting up for a match with her and Beth Phoenix at WrestleMania because she crushed her skull with a steel chair. That usually happens when you get your skull crushed.
She miraculously survived.
She did. She got taken off a stretcher and Edge hasn't been seen since until Saturday when he comes back. Right. Becky Lynch is plus 300. Raquel Rodriguez is plus 500.
What?
I think. what's that?
She's third.
Yeah. Raquel Rodriguez is plus 500.
Okay.
So the people I think it's either going to be Becky Lynch or Liv Morgan. I think they're really going to go Rhea and Beth at WrestleMania. And I think Becky's just a safe pick for them because no matter who you put her against, it's going to be a match that you can promote. Liv, they've been talking a lot about her going one, starting at one and going through the entire field. The thing is, if she wins, I don't really know. There's just not like an up and comer in the women's division where you're just like, I want to see her win it. So,
right.
They'll probably, I think Becky will win, but I guess Liv's my dark horse.
If Becky wins, do you see a triple threat between her, Bianca, and Charlotte at WrestleMania? To unify.
I feel like they've already done that, though.
They did with what? Bayley and Sasha or whatever.
Well, no, she did that with Charlotte and
Sasha.
Charlotte and Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah. But didn't they do with Sasha too? Wasn't she in a triple threat?
WrestleMania 32.
Testing your knowledge.
It was, Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha. So
there you go.
Now Mercedes Moné.
I've got Rhea, and then, like the rest of to figure out is tough because once at one, I think they've only announced like seven people. And
yeah.
Like 23 slots left. What about Mandy Rose? Like she got fired.
It'd be a hell of a way to like bring her back.
But I don't know. I don't know like what the term, like who let her go, what the terms were, if they were like, just go take a break. Just go take a break. Get ready for the
She Rumble. Made $1 million just posting pics.
Yeah.
On
and the other one is Naomi. I was looking at the roster before this. She's still on there. She's still on the roster. I could see her and Bianca Belair having a WrestleMania thing.
That would actually be a match I'd be interested in seeing.
So those are three to watch out for me. So, but overall, I think it'll be. Are you looking forward to the Pitch Black match or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Oh my god.
I was joking this also last night. It is not the first Pitch Black match ever. You want to know what the first one was?
No, what is the first one?
Well, my grandma, when I was a kid, when Pitch Black first came out, she decided to bring a 12-pack of Pitch Black Mountain Dew to Christmas. Just trying to do something good for the kids. And my mom was not having it.
She gave Dew to kids?
She was going to get not just Mountain Dew, Pitch Black Mountain Dew. So, like, I do remember, like, vividly my mom, like, cornering my grandma. And she's like, I'm just trying to do something nice for the children. And, like, I don't know. It was – so that was the first Pitch Black match. But I'm excited for that. I just – a lot of Bray Wyatt's matches don't usually live up to the hype, but I'm interested to see what they do, where they go with it.
Yeah, I don't think this is about the wrestling.
Involved? Yeah.
I don't think the actual in-ring wrestling is the focus in this, this match. Ending on a Vikings note, I forgot to ask you when we were talking about Kevin O'Connell, Coach of the Year nominations or whatever. Do you know who the last coach was to win, the last Vikings coach to win Coach of the Year?
Was it Dennis Green?
It was not. It was not Dennis Green in 1998.
Was it Childress?
Dan Reeves won Coach of the Year in 98. What?
Wow.
It was not Childress in 2009. It was not Mike Zimmer in 2017. It was Bud Grant in 1969. No Vikings head coach has won Coach of the Year since 1969.
I don't know why it's so funny, but yes.
How did Denny Green not win? He went 15-1.
How did Bud Grant not win in a year he went to the Super Bowl? I mean, they were like a Patriots like dynasty minus the Super Bowls back then. But I mean,
they didn't go to the Super Bowl in 69. I thought they played the Chiefs.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah. I think they played the Chiefs in 69.
Then, yes, because the game was played in 70. You're right.
Right.
I'll stick to the wrestling historical notes. You correct me on the football historical notes.
But
okay?
But Denny Green is the most surprising. Like how did Dan Reeves, I think the Falcons went 14-2.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But
15-1, Randy Moss. Like, people don't even remember the 98 Falcons outside of like the Falcons fan base and like the Vikings, because like they beat us. But
you know who won Coach of the Year last year?
It was somebody bad, because I remember, wasn't it somebody with a losing record?
No, they made the playoffs, but they lost in the first game.
Who?
Mike Vrabel. Yeah. They got the number one seed and they lost.
They did.
Divisional round. 2009 was Marvin Lewis. 10-6. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
We've been making this go long enough. All right. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, like this video, follow Viking Age on Twitter, Facebook. An audio version of this podcast will be available in the morning on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, Chris and I will talk to you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.